Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Hey, how's that home building project going? Let BBN help you as you build a strong family to the glory of God. Welcome to Building Blocks for the Family. Our guest today is Jerry Lancaster. How are you preparing your children to face the future? Today we consider some advice for recent graduates as they look ahead to some of the decisions they'll be making, choices that will make an impact on their lives for years to come. Today's message, don't lose heart. Here's Jerry Lancaster.
This message this morning is directed primarily at our graduates. When I came through high school and graduated, I did not go to any Christian schools, and I went to the University of Cincinnati, which is a secular university, first entering in the pre-law program with the intention to go to Chase Law School, and then, as you know, had a career with General Motors for about 5.5 years, and then answered the call of God to go into the ministry. So my preparation and my pathway was a little bit different than others. But when I was in high school and college, those were very turbulent years in America. Those of you who are graduating now think that there's a lot of problems in our country and a lot of issues and a lot of turmoil going on, but that was true back in the 1960s. I think you just have lost that perspective. Your parents have gone through some of the same difficulties that you have. For example, you now face, as America does, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan and the war on terror. There was a war when I came out of high school and college, and that was the Vietnam War. And I can assure you that it was a very painful experience, and every single one of us had either relatives or friends who died in Vietnam. Some 58,000 of our soldiers died. There were some brutal political battles back in the 1960s. Don't forget, that is the era where we had the assassination of our president, President Kennedy, followed by the assassination of his brother Bobby, and then, of course, also Dr. Martin Luther King, a civil rights leader, and so it was a time of turmoil. The roots of what we today experience as the sexual revolution and the moral upheaval of our country, those roots were planted in the 1960s. They simply are bearing fruit in these decades. And so what we faced at that time are very similar things to what you are facing today as young people graduating from your respective educational institutions. Our president at that time, Lyndon Johnson, was so troubled by the division in America. I remember sitting before the television set, and a nation was stunned when he said, America is now a house divided. And because of the pains of Vietnam, which he could not resolve, he said to the nation, I will not seek, nor will I accept the nomination of my party for another term as President of the United States. That shocked everybody. Presidents don't just quit. That's how bad it was. And so I guess I want you to know that we can identify with some of the things that you're going through. I want to help you as your pastor. I want to strengthen your faith. I remember in those days, I asked myself this question as I entered the university. Who am I? My answer to that was, I am a Bible-believing Christian on a secular university campus. The second question, why do I believe what I believe? I'd better find out. It's not enough just to say you believe and you have faith. You have faith in what? You cannot have faith in faith. Faith has to rest upon facts. And you teens know that your friends will tell you that. You believe this, why? What is the basis of it? And third question was, am I going to live what I believe? And I knew when I said yes to that question that I would be tested. And the first week I was tested, because I met the wrong girl. I am thankful that by the end of that freshman year, I had made some important decisions and choices, and I want you to know that I remained pure in my testimony. By the grace of God, He gave me the strength to live a life which was pleasing to Him, and at the end of my freshman year, I would meet Joy, and she was the right woman. Now, I want to share with you some thoughts. If there is a verse from which we will launch this, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for your affections influence everything else in your life. Guard your heart. I've said this over and over again. Those of you who've been here for a long time know that there are some things I repeat because I believe them to be essential to this church. I do not want this church to lose its heart. Any ministry that loses its heart loses the ministry. Any organization that loses its compassion and its heart and does not guard its affections will lose the ministry. And I don't want that to happen to this church. I don't want that to happen to me individually. And I do not want that to happen to any of our graduates. My plea to you as your pastor is do not lose your heart when you go off to college or whatever God leads you into. Because above all else, you must guard your heart because your affections influence everything else in your life. You tell me about what your affections are, and I will tell you how it will influence your life. Now, there are five times that God gives us warnings in Scripture about not losing your heart. Guarding your heart. God warns us not to lose our heart, but then gives us five reasons why we might. I want the graduates to take these five reasons with them. Stick them in your pocket as you go off to your first classes at college. Keep them close. Put them in your wallet. These are five things that will steal your heart if you're not careful. First, I'll give you a passage for each one. When you see other Christians who do not live for the Lord, they say they're Christians. They say they believe the Bible. They go to church. They might even teach Sunday school. But they do not live for the Lord. I warn you. Those kind of people are out there. I don't want to be like that. But you need to guard your heart and not lose your heart, because I can almost assure you that when you go away to college or when you step out into the next area of responsibility, you are going to run into other people, Christians, who say they're Christians, but they do not live like Christians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Would you look at that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. That is, they have ill-ordered lives, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Do not lose your heart. You say, why would I lose my heart? Because there are some people who say they're Christians, but they live ill-ordered lives. Now, my job as a pastor is to be under the control of the Spirit of God, preach the Word of God to help you be conformed to the image of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are in the process, but it will surely happen to you that there will be friends that you will have who profess to be Christians, but they will not live as Christians. Do not let that tire you of doing what is right. Don't lose your heart. If your faith is only as deep as your roommate's life, you're in trouble. I did not go away to college. Joy did go away to college. And she had several different roommates. She had some wonderful roommates. She also had roommates who did not live for Jesus Christ on a Christian campus. And she had to determine, I'm not going to let what she's doing with her boyfriend detract me from following Jesus Christ. I am going to keep my eyes on Christ. Haven't we as parents pled with you to do that? Get your eyes off of people. Please follow Christ. He will never, ever disappoint you. Never. When I put my nose in that Bible, when I became a freshman at a secular university and I made sure that I studied my Bible every day, I was never disappointed in the person that I was following because I had my eyes on Jesus. And He was always true. He always lived a godly life. He always spoke what was right. And even though there were a lot of voices clamoring in the 1960s, and there were a lot of people who were living all kinds of lifestyles, that was not for me. I just kept my eyes on Christ. And as sure as you go into the next phase of life, you will find Christian people who do not act like Christians. Don't lose heart. Number two. Don't lose heart because you do not seek quick results. Turn to Galatians 6. Back a few books to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, and here comes the statement, if we do not lose our heart, if we do not faint, don't lose your heart. He says you might lose your heart because you don't get quick results. You don't see the results. He says don't be misled. You cannot ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop that he sows. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, he will reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. So he says, let us not tire of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not get discouraged and give up. But we can lose heart if we don't get the quick results that we wanted. Whatever man sows, he reaps. It is a law that is certain. It is a law of nature. If I sow corn, I do not reap peanuts. If I sow bad habits of eating and lifestyle, I will reap sickness and poor health. It doesn't matter whether I'm a Christian, whether I'm a pastor. If I violate the laws of nature that God has established, I will pay for it. I will reap what I sow. You will reap what you sow. Now, sometimes we think because we don't get the quick harvest that we're not reaping what we sow. Because you say, you know, I kept my testimony clean. I did what was right. I didn't lie. I was honest. I was faithful. And look where it got me. That is not true. You know where it got you? It got you the blessings of God. When you are obedient to God, He blesses obedience. Always. You never have to doubt that. It's just that it may not happen on the timetable that you think it should happen. I mean, I've kiddingly said to the other pastors as we're talking about certain things, I'll say, well, God's late again, isn't He? Well, He's not late. It just seems that way. It is a law that is certain. Charles Ryrie says it works regardless of what you think about it or whether you want it to or whether you even know anything about it. It is still a law that works. What you sow, you reap. It is a law that works over time. You don't plant corn this afternoon and go walk out into the field tomorrow morning and say, oh, what a beautiful ear of corn. There's no ear of corn tomorrow morning. It works over time. Will you get an ear of corn? You sure will, because that's what you planted. It is at the proper time, he says. Let us not be weary, verse 9, in well-doing, for in due season, at the right time, it will happen. It will eventually come to us. It will work out. God will honor you. He will be faithful to you. You will be blessed if you're obedient. That's just a law, a spiritual law that works. Number three, do not lose heart when you see someone else in ministry being hurt. I know this church very well. I have a long history here, and therefore I have a perspective that few people have. And I can tell you, there are some people who will not come to this church today because their excuse is, I have seen the way some Christians treat other people who are in ministry. They've been hurt because they saw the way some Christians treated other people who were trying to serve the Lord, and they were sincere, and then they did nothing but attack them and criticize them and all this other stuff. And so they basically said, I saw what happened to my dad, and you know what? I checked out. I'm not going anymore. I don't want any part of it. There are some people who will not come here, but they won't go to any church. And God says, don't lose heart. Just because you see other people in ministry who aren't being treated like you think they should be treated. What you need to know is, I know what my calling is. I know what the responsibility is. I know that I sometimes get credit for things that I didn't do. And I know that I also get criticized for things that I didn't do. It kind of goes with the territory. But I need to shoulder that responsibility. This is what God has called me to do. And I'm doing fine. Do you know why? I have a big perspective. I have repeated over again that I am very thankful to be a pastor. I did not originally train for it, wasn't educated originally for the ministry. God called me to it. I'm just as happy being a pastor today as the day that I responded to the Lord and when He called me into the ministry. Have there been headaches? Have there been heartaches? Have we cried through some things? Have I tried to be there to help you, maybe put some pieces back together? And sometimes it did, and sometimes it didn't. And were there hurts? Have I been through hurts? Have I been through things? Yeah, actually I have. I need to put my big boy pants on and shoulder it and go on and serve the Lord. And I want all of you seniors, just because you see somebody who gets hurt in ministry, I do not want you to lose heart. I want you to see the big perspective. That's what Paul says. Now let me read the passage to you. He says, and this is in Ephesians, so you need to go forward just a few pages to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. This is exactly what he says. In Ephesians 3, verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not, do not lose heart, do not be discouraged, at my problems. Don't be discouraged by the things that are happening to me for you. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He will grant you, as He has me, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in the inner man. Paul says, my inner man is strengthened. Please do not lose heart because of the way some people are treating me. The Apostle Paul was not always popular. But he said, you should not be discouraged by that, because Paul's saying, I know who I am. I know why I believe what I believe. Does it sound familiar? And I know I will be tested on it. And I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to be discouraged because of the way other people are treating me. I looked up some other translations, and here's what it says. Please don't lose heart at what they are doing to me here. It is for you that I am suffering, and you should feel honored and encouraged. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, in other words, Paul says, when I see the big picture of why I'm in the ministry, even though there are battles and bruises and all that kind of stuff, when I see people saved, and when I see how God has used me, and I see how I've ministered, I see the big picture. I fall down on my knees and I pray to God the Father, who is the Father of the great family of God. Some who are in heaven, some who are down here on earth. And I see the unlimited resources that He gives to help strengthen us through the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I see the big picture. Okay, now, graduates, are you prepared for that? If you come back and say to me, well, I'm going to tell you what happened and how discouraged I became and how frustrated and upset and mad I got because of the way I saw certain pastors being treated or certain people who were my friends who loved the Lord and were serving the Lord, and people criticized them and hurt them. And so I dropped out. I'm going to get this sermon out and I'm going to say, didn't God tell you that you might face that ahead of time? Don't lose heart. Because what you need to know is those people in ministry see the big picture. I see the big picture. I know who I am. I know what God's called me to do, and I'm quite secure in that. Don't lose heart. Number four. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18. Do not lose heart when your prayers seem to be unanswered. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus tells a parable which follows that verse, and the whole theme of it is that we should always pray and not lose heart, not faint, not give up. You know, sometimes it just seems like God doesn't answer the prayers. Now, you can cut your theology however you want on this, but I'll tell you where I am. And I know there's a lot of facets to this. Every doctrine has many facets. I believe that God answers every single one of my prayers that I pray. You say, are you on thin ice? I don't think so. Here's why. Sometimes I get a direct answer, but sometimes He denies my request. That is an answer, because He knows that's not best for me. Sometimes He delays the request. He doesn't answer it when I thought He was going to answer it. But 5 years later, I said to myself, it's the very thing I was praying about back there. Oh, well, I guess He did answer. He just had His own timetable. And then I think to myself, I'm glad He didn't do it back then, because, oh, this is so much better. You ever been there? Sometimes He answers differently than I thought. But I believe He always answers. You say, how can you say that? Because I'm His child. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You have not because you ask not. So I'm His child, so I think He answers my prayers. It just seems like sometimes He doesn't. You're going to pray some prayers once you graduate, and you're going to think God didn't answer. Just remember, He is answering. He always answers. Listen to this verse. In Luke 1:35, it says of Jesus, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out, and He departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus found the time and the place to talk to His Father. When you graduate, you had better find the time and the place to talk to your Father. And you can if you want to. That's how you're sustained. He says we should always pray. I wrote in my Bible years ago, Prayer should be as natural as breathing. You just stop. Let's just talk to the Lord. Let's pray. You're driving? Let's pray. You're on your way to class? You don't have your eyes closed, but you're saying, Father, would you help me when I... You always pray. It should be as natural as breathing. By the way, for the last almost 25 minutes during this sermon, I've been breathing, and I haven't even thought about it. Prayer ought to be so natural you don't even think about it. You just talk to your Father. Don't lose heart just because your prayers seem to be unanswered. They aren't. He does answer. Finally, we may lose heart when we have to strive against sin. Would you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12? We may lose heart. We may faint. We may become discouraged if we have to strive or war or fight against sin. I think we do new Christians a disservice. Here's why. And some of you, by the way, are new Christians. You have just come to faith in Christ. So let me do you a service. You're excited about being saved, right? Sure. Isn't it great to know you're going to heaven? Absolutely. Don't you just feel like you have a new life? You do. I want to do you a service. Get prepared for a war, a battle. You need to know that you now are in a battle. You say, well, I thought I was in a battle before with all my sin and the stuff I... No, that's a different kind of battle. This one is the battle not to lose your heart, to keep your faith, to keep your eyes on the Lord, to not faint. And Hebrews 12, verses 3 and 4 say, you need to consider him, Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. The word contradiction means opposition. Jesus endured opposition of sinners against himself. What does that mean? Jesus was patient when sinful people did terrible things to him. He was patient. For consider him. Follow him. Do what he did. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There it is again. Lest you lose heart. You're in a battle. Don't be surprised. You haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 4. You have never struggled against sin and temptation and sweat great drops of blood like Jesus did. You've never had that kind of battle. But he went through it. And so can you. That's what God said. He will see you through. Don't lose heart. So my parting encouragement to all of you seniors. Don't lose your heart. Guard your heart. For your affections will influence everything else in your life.
Jerry Lancaster, don't lose heart. You've been listening to the Bible Broadcasting Network and Building Blocks for the Family. We're helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. For more information on getting a copy of today's broadcast, you can visit us at bbnradio.org. Go to the program schedule and then click on Building Blocks for the Family, bbnradio.org.
That concludes this feature. We have many resources for you here at BBN. Click resources at our website, bbnradio.org.